as well as he was also God. And Jesus became something that he wasn't before, and that was a brother or over with many brothers and sisters that he didn't have before. So even Jesus, God himself, and changed in a sense, because the whole purpose of the cross of Calvary was that God would have a family that would love him and he could love. Now, he taught us with something called the cross of Calvary. And the cross was just a piece of wood like this one here. And it had a vertical beam that came down and was buried into the ground. And then it had a cross beam that reached out. And the very plan of God is in that cross right there. When you think about the cross, it's going to be what I'm going to be teaching on today. This beam was put into the dirt. It was put into the ground. And it's a picture that we all came from dirt. There was none good, no, not one. And so God brought us out of that dirt and put us into this cross, which this part represents what God wants to do in us and what we are to become. And that is, we are to focus on God. If you want to put it this way, look up to God. And as we look up to God and focus on him, he'll begin to change us in our life. And the example I gave last Sunday was very simply this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God comes into your spirit. That's done forever. As far as God is concerned, you are forgiven forever. But then he wants to begin a process of where he's going to transform our soul into his image. The Bible puts it another way, as I'll show you in a minute. God wants Christ to be formed in us. In other words, we're going to be something over a period of time that we were not before, because before we were not headed for heaven. I said before we were not headed for heaven, we were headed to be separated from God forever. But once we made the decision to receive Christ, God said, not only are you going to have eternal life, not only do you have an eternal destiny with me, but I'm going to change you so that you'll be prepared for the life in eternity. You'll be prepared for the kingdom of God. You'll be prepared to live with the presence of God forever. Now, you probably know that we're not that way when we get saved. In fact, we've been living in the world. In fact, God said at the very outset, he said it this way, there's two ways to live. You can eat of the tree of life, or you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is a world system of thinking that's opposed to God. Before you even thought about God, maybe you didn't think you were opposed to him, but you were living opposed to him. And so the world system's opposed to God. Our fleshly thinking, which is selfish thinking, is opposed to God. And the devil, of course, is opposed to God. On the other side of the coin, you have the tree of life, where we come to Christ, we give ourselves to him, and we say, Lord, make us into the image of Christ so that we're going to fit into eternity with God forever. So that's the process that we've been talking about, and I'm going to tell you over the next few weeks how to allow God to conform you to his image. I'm going to give you the how-to. I'm going to give you some of it today. But every time we hear the word of God, we ought to thank God that it's his word, and then we ought to ask God to use that word so that we will be obedient to it in our life, and that's part of the changing process. God didn't save us just to go back and live in the world like we did before, but he saved us so that he could change us, and really so that we would be like him. Now, every single day is a spiritual battle. I said every single day is a spiritual battle. You will get up in the morning, you will decide. At the very beginning, if you don't make a decision, you've made one. A lot of people don't make any decisions when they get up. They just say, I'm going to take this day like it is, and whatever happens, happens, and I hope God helps me, you know, this kind of stuff. Instead of you get up and say, God, this day belongs to you. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me any way you want me to be today. Change me, mold me, use this day. We've only got so many hours, God. I say we've only got so many hours, God, for you to change me and to make me as you want me to be. And it's like the potter and the clay. If you start every day out, okay, God, I'm the clay. Shape me like you want me to be today. Shape me like you want me to be tomorrow. And then I'll be ready when I step into heaven for eternity. That's the issue. You can live like the world. You can live like the flesh. You can live like the devil. You might get away with some of it, and if you're a Christian, God might forgive you, but there's consequences. Are you listening? There's consequences to doing that. If you don't decide right at the beginning of the day that you want to know God, you want to be led by God, you want to become like God, then you will just allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to automatically come into your life, because it will. If you do nothing, that's what you get. The world, the flesh, the devil. You did that before you got saved, so what's new? You see, there's something wrong with a Christian life that thinks that way. God wants to transform your mind so you start thinking and living like God, instead of the way you did before, which was the world, the flesh, the devil. God wants to change your thinking. If he can transform your mind in your soul, then your mind controls what you do. Your thinking controls what you do. Every single day, from the minute you get up till you go to bed at night, your mind controls what you do. So whatever you allow to take into your mind and influence your mind and shape your mind, that's what you're going to become. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking about all day long? Do you just let your mind float around and just float here and then, float there and float wherever? Or do you control what your mind thinks? God said we're in a battle, we're in a spiritual battle every day. We have to take charge of our life, or the devil will be glad to do it. You see. And that's the whole issue. Who's in charge? We've been talking about this. Who is the boss? Who do you let control your life? It's either going to be God and the Holy Spirit of God, or it's going to be the world system, your selfish system within you, or the devil himself. So you have to determine. Now, I'm going to tell you some things that will help you today. There's two primary purposes that God wants in your life, and they are represented by that cross right there. Two primary purposes, the vertical and the horizontal. And I'll tell you what they are. The vertical is where we concentrate on God. The horizontal, Jesus reached his arms out also at the cross, and he did that for a purpose. This arm of the cross is to, first, this one is to love God. It's pointed to God, love God. Okay? This one is to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. This one is to love a lost world. So, as Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross so that we would be saved, and he totally put himself in the hands of God the Father to do with him as he would, Then he reached out and he said, I'm going to reach out to the family of God. I'm going to reach out to the whole world. We're to do the same thing. So, once you look in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, and this word was given that we not only know it, but also that we would obey it. Say, obey it. That's pretty weak. Say, obey it. Okay, that's it. What's the point of taking it in if you don't use it? Somebody was talking about this morning that they buy a lot of things at home they just set on the shelf. Well, I'm going to tell you, we listen to a lot of things in the Bible we just set on the shelf. You see, and that's not it. You'll not change if you don't allow God to work in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the ordinances, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them. Say, do them. Say, do them. The Lord commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land to which you go and possess it. In other words, he said, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you the instructions on what to do when you get there. And you need to understand the information, but when you get there, you need to do it. Now, when you get saved, God gives us some information on what to do on a daily basis. Not only our life. You know, if I counted, I've only got so many weekends left in this body as it is now in this world. I don't know how many, but if I live to be 100, I still only got a few to go. Yeah, I've lived most of them. So I'll tell you, if there's anything I want to do now, God changed me, work overtime in these last days, hallelujah, to make me like Jesus. You understand? I haven't got time to waste. I find the closer I get to God, the more he narrows my world in. And I don't care about things I did before, not only because I'm old, but also very simply because he narrows my focus and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I need to concentrate on that and spend my time on it, you see. Now let's go on. That thou may fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, thou and your son and your son's sons, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. God said, if you listen to my word and do it, you'll live longer on this earth. He just said so right there. Now, if you believe God and believe his word, you need to understand what needs to be done. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Here it is, second time. Hear it and do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Let me tell you something. I have never, ever in my life seen anybody that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that was faithful in church, that was faithful in the Word of God, that was faithful to do what God did told them to do, that tithed of what they had, that wasn't successful in this life. I've never seen one. But I've seen a whole lot of folks that mess around with the things of God and hit and miss do it and end up messed up in life. I've seen a lot of that. I'm telling you from my standpoint, what I've seen. I know what God says works. And says, verse 4, here it is. Hear, O Israel. He's talking to Israel here. But we are spiritual Israel. He's talking to physical Israel there. We're spiritual Israel, so he's talking to us. The Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Now look at this in verse 7. Somebody should have given Dr. Spock a big boot in the behind. Because you know what he said? Oh, your kid, just let your kids go and they'll make up their own mind and don't influence them. Just let them do anything they feel like doing and those cute little things are going to be okay when they grow up. Well, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? You know, it's a very interesting thing. We were talking to somebody yesterday and I was talking about, I forget what the deal was. They had a business or something, and this person, they were working there. And you know, so they said, you know what the problem with young people is today? They don't know how to work. They know how to play, but they don't know how to work. Whose fault is that? Aren't you glad you came today? Whose fault is that? God says you take those little dudes and you mold them and you prepare them and you get them ready for God and for life and for heaven. And you don't mess around. You pour it into them. You open those little minds up and you pour it into them in the name of Jesus. There's been more kids go to hell because the parents did not teach them what they should have taught them when they were this high. Are you listening? I'm telling you how to be successful in the Lord. I'm telling you how to be successful in this life. I don't have anybody in mind. You know what works and doesn't work. But I'm telling you what works. Now let's go on. Teach them diligent to your children. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you go to the ball game, when you go fishing, when you go to the park, when you're in the car. Are you listening to me? You teach them life while you're living life with them. You see. Now, I'm not trying to make somebody feel bad if you messed up. I'm not sure I did the greatest job in the world, but I'm going to tell you this. You can start with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and get that part right. Man, I didn't hear an amen on that one. All right. Verse 8. Thou shalt bind them for a sign unto your hand. They shall be frontlets between your eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of your house and on the gates, talking about the word of God. Now look at this. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. He's talking about a physical land. God's talking to us about our soul. We're responsible for our soul. That's the land we're supposed to be dealing with. And to give thee a great and godly cities which you did not build. God says, I'll give you things you didn't even build if you'll trust in me. You see. And houses full of good things which you filled not, and wells digged, you did not dig. I'm going to give you things, he said, that you did, all you had to do is say, yes, Lord, and you got it. And when you didn't plant it, you're going to get things you didn't even plant. People are struggling today in this life. People are struggling in this world and can't even make ends meet. And God said, if you do it my way, it'll fall into your lap. The potter's our problem. We're loving God with one hand and living in the world the worldly way the second hand, and it doesn't work. I'm just telling you, it doesn't work. If it worked, show me where it works. I'd like to see it. You see. Well, let's go on. But beware, verse 12, lest you forget the Lord who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name and not have any other gods. Okay. That's just some basic teaching there. And God said, hear this, love the Lord, verse 5, with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Are you doing it? You know, we talk it, we memorize it, but are we doing it? If you don't do it, it doesn't do any good. Okay. Now, let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. If you don't have a Bible, look over somebody's shoulder or something. Matthew 22, 34. Matthew 22, 34. Now, we've talked about this in the past. We'll talk about it in the future because this is the cross. This is it. This is what I've been talking about. Here it is. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, and incidentally we just read it, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." I thought that was just Old Testament. No, it's in the New Testament. It's supposed to be in us. And I think the guy said, "Oh, that's good. That's what the Word of God says. You're absolutely right, Lord." And he starts to walk away. And then Lord said, "Oh, wait a minute." He said, "There's a second one." And God is saying today to everybody that thinks it's just them and Jesus, oh, hallelujah. He said there's something else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's what Jesus said. Two things, two priorities, two main things. Love Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself, and I'm going to proceed to tell you how to do that. In case you didn't know, I'm sure most of you know, but just if you didn't, he said on verse 40, "Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you do that, God is pleased." Somebody said, "If I just knew how to please God, if I just knew how to please God." God said, "If you do these two things, I'm pleased." Wasn't complicated. He didn't give us 40. He gave us two. Okay? Now, the first one is the vertical part of the cross. Up and down, that's the first priority. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, your neighbors, yourself. And in that process, you come to Christ. You see John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, we know that. Then you receive Christ as your Savior. That's just the beginning, because God then, how many know God's not going to change? He's not going to change. Who has to change? We do. That begins the process. But some people just walk away from that part right there. You receive Christ. I'm going to heaven. Good enough. Now I'll live my own life by myself. Well, how's that working? You see. And then they get in a big mess. I'm not making fun of anybody. I've done the same thing. And then they get in a big mess, and then they come running to God. Well, that's a start. Then start over and get it right the second time. You see. Okay, now. So then you're going to start working on a deeper relationship with God, and here's how you do it. I'll just give you some basic things. Number one, worship God. Somebody says, "Oh, man, I'll be glad when the music's over, and I'll be glad when that singing's over, and then we can get to the main thing." What's the main thing? Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you express your love by singing to him. If you can't sing, whistling, play the Jew's harp, whatever you do. I don't know what you do, but do something. And if you don't sing, what you can do is just say the words to God. You don't have to sing them. You can say them to God. Oh, God, We love you. Thank you for loving the world. Thank you, Jesus. I am thankful. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, thanksgiving is being thankful to God. Praise is worshiping him as the Lord, as the high and lofty one, as the one who holds the world in his hand, the one who holds your life in his hand. Worship and praise. And I don't hesitate, it's making love to God. We're serious here. That's what it is. It's making love to God. He's already made love to us. It's on an old rugged cross, on a hill far away. You see, but it's not far away. It's right here. It's right here. Thanksgiving, you're thankful to God. You give him the glory. You give him the praise. You give him the blessing, you see. And then you learn his word. You can't just learn it on Sunday morning. I'm sorry, can't be done. You're going to get some of it. You need to take notes. But the issue, you need to get the CDs so you hear them over and over again. But you need to read the Bible every single day of your life if you possibly can. Whether it's 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, whatever time you have, if you're not in the Word, you're not going to change. That's just it. If all you get is on Sunday, you will not change. You got to get it every day. You got to get it constantly. You got to get it consistently. You got to keep feeding the Word of God into your heart. You eat every day. Your soul needs to eat. And it's either going to eat of the Word of God or it's going to eat of the world. If you're not in the Word, you're in the world, and you're going to think like the world does. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be disappointed. Not that you won't get into heaven, but that you won't understand heaven when you get there. And you'll have to learn all over again. And it's either learn it here or learn it there. Like the commercial, see me now or see me later. You see. So you're going to learn the Word of God. You're going to honor God in his Word. You're going to have conversations with him. That's called prayer. You're going to meditate on the Word of God. You're going to think about what you've read. You don't just read it, say, okay, I've got my time done. I'm through. Now go, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you think about what you read. You take notes. You listen to what God is saying in your mind. God speaks to you while you're in the Word. You meditate on it, and then you let the Word of God transform you. I want you to look at a verse here that you ought to underline, put 10 stars by, and that's Galatians 4:19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. This one is so important. I want you to know I'm not making this stuff up. This is what the Apostle Paul said. This is after you get saved. The Apostle Paul, Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Say that. Until Christ be formed in you. That's what the Christian life is. The Christ being formed in your soul. That's what it is. It's a process. You can't do it by just spending an hour a week with God. It's not going to happen. It's living with God throughout the week is what it is. We allowed ourselves to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what that is. Now, if you don't, you will allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to form you into its way of thinking, and there's consequences. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven if you're a Christian. I just said there's consequences to that kind of living, you see. Because you're teaching everybody around you to do that. I said, you're teaching everybody around you to do that. whether it's your children, whether it's your neighbors, whether it's whoever it is. Just going through life, you're teaching something. Now, it hadn't got anything to do with feeling goosebumps. It hadn't got anything to do with feelings. Love really is not about feelings. Your emotions are just given to you as icing on the cake, not the cake. If you let your emotions control your life, you're going to be a mess. You ever been around somebody, just let their emotions, whatever whim they had at the time, they're going to go for that full guns. You know, whatever they feel like. I want to feel good. Well, the world's full of feel-good stuff that'll send you right to eternal hell. You see. So you don't go by your emotions. That ain't got anything to do with it. Love is a decision. Love is a decision. I'm going to love you for the rest of my life. Period. Over and out. Good, bad, whatever. Hadn't got anything to do with feelings. Feelings come when you do what you say. Are you listening? A lot of people say, oh, I love you, and they say the words, and you don't see one thing in their life that shows it. Can you imagine somebody getting married and say, oh, I love you, I just want to spend the rest of my life with you, and all this kind of stuff, and then about 2 weeks later, they're gone three-fourths of the time when they're not working. What is that? It's not love. Somebody says, you know, I just love you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for saving me. I'm so glad I'm going to heaven. I just wanted to do anything you want me to do. And they come to church once a month. They're in their Bible maybe a couple times a month. And you see, they're lying. It's a lie. They're deceived. It's not true. It's not just getting these feelings of love. Oh, you know, I'm in the mood for love. And then about 10 minutes later, what are you doing? That's not love. Love is when somebody gets sick, you're by their bedside and you nurse them and you bless them and you encourage them and you pray for them and you talk about Jesus and you put on a tape about the Lord and you get the atmosphere of God in a place and maybe you're set there for days and days and days and that's love. And it's not comfortable. And it's not pleasant, and it's not a good feeling. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you what loving Jesus is. We're going to look in the scriptures to see. A whole bunch of scriptures. Get your fingers ready. John 14:15. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said is love. John 14. And verse 15. Now get ready. I'm going to have you repeat these after me. Okay. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14:23. You don't need to repeat this. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. He'll come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me and keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine. John 14:24. Well, we just did that one. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's nothing here that says anything about good feelings. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. There's six statements about love. And very simply, Jesus said, don't say you love me if you're not going to do what I tell you to do. Everybody likes to talk about Jesus, and I just love Jesus, and everything's just so wonderful, and all this stuff. But Jesus said very simply this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you're living like the world, you're not loving Jesus. Maybe I'll put it this way. If you're thinking like the world, you're not loving Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, in most cases, common sense is thinking like the world. It's the Word of God that causes us to love Jesus Christ. Love is something you do, not just words. How many people, I just love you so much, just sleep with me. I just love you so much. They sleep with them and you never see them again. That's what some people do with Jesus. Oh, just give me heaven, God. And then you never see them again. They don't understand God. They don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand what being a Christian is. I want you to look at this, Matthew 23 and verse 1. I want you to see this. I'm just saying this. Evaluate your life today. Find out where you're at and if you're serious about the things of God. Look in Matthew 23 and verse 1. I'll tell you, you can have a big church and have thousands of people. All you do is talk about God is love. Whatever that means. Well, I'm not going to do that. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. That was a big deal. All therefore, whatever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but don't do after their works, for they say and do not. He said, what they're saying is good. They talk about the Word of God and they do all of this stuff, but then when it comes down to it, they don't do any of it. They just say it and they don't do it. You know what that's called? Religion. That's what it is. Talking a good story, but when it comes down to living it, loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and their neighbors, their self, they don't do it. I'm trying to tell you how to be pleasing to God. Just hang in there. Well, I only got a couple hours to go. Okay. I'm almost finished today. But listen. Worldly thinking about love is you can fall in and out of love. Oh, I love this person today. Oh, I hate this person tomorrow. Oh, I love this person today. No, I hate this person tomorrow. That's worldly love. God's love is forever. you will never find one time where God doesn't do what he says. You will never, ever find a time when God doesn't do what he says. We may say something and not do it, but not God, because he means business. To him, love is eternity. And he says, actually, say, well, let me finish up. Okay, this falling in and out of love, that's why people, you know, I'm going to tell you something. There, no offense to anybody, if you believe you can lose your salvation, that's okay. I'm going to keep mine, but if you want to lose yours, it's okay. Doesn't depend on me, it depends on God. Are you listening? Doesn't depend on me. If it did, I'd be lost now. It depends on God. Totally, 100%. Now, there's people who believe you can be saved, and then when you sin, you lose it, and then you get saved again, and then when you sin, you lose it. There's a lot of people living their life that way. It's an emotional roller coaster that will not conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. God is not that way. When he died on the cross, he said it's forever. It's the world that's thinking that, it's a worldly thinking, not God's thinking. Let me tell you something about that. Can you sin as a Christian? Yes, you can. Does God forgive you? Yes, he does. Are there consequences in this life? Yes, there is. That's the issue. You see, you don't get away with anything. If you love somebody, you're going to do things for them whether you feel like it or not. It's obedience or nothing. 2 Corinthians 2:9, last scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:9. I'm not making fun of anybody. I've lived through all of this stuff. 2 Corinthians 2:9, I don't want any more of it. I'll tell you, in my own life. 2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you're obedient in all things. There it is. Obedient in all things. A lot of people say they're saved, but how do you know they are? Obedience. That's the proof. Obedience. That is the proof of God. I don't know about you. I study a lot during the week. But I'm going to tell you, I'm listening to Bible preachers. I'm reading everything I can get my hands on that I have time to do. And I'm telling you, I'm constantly taking in the Word of God. I want to get it right. Because this life is so small compared to eternity, I don't want to mess this time up. And I don't have a lot left, as some of you do. And so I don't want to mess it up. We need to cultivate our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a vertical reality with Jesus. We need to give our life to him on a daily basis, and we need to be obedient. Next time I'm going to talk about how to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, and how do you love the lost world. I'm going to talk about that next time. That's the outstretched part of the cross. And we're going to talk about this today was Jesus. You say you love Jesus, prove it. I had this lady one time, I married this couple, and she came to me 6 months later, and she said, oh, my husband just won't stay at home. He just goes out 2 or 3 nights a week with the boys. And I said, really? And besides that, he's got beer in the refrigerator. I said, well, Did he do that before you got married? Did he go out two or three nights with the boys? She said, yes. I said, did he have beer in the refrigerator? She said, yes. I said, you married a lost person? How do you think he was going to change? And you even marry a Christian. And they do the same thing. I can tell you there's somebody that's not following Christ. I can tell you somebody, they don't understand love. They don't understand marriage. They don't understand relationship. So how can they understand a relationship with God if they can't get a simple relationship like marriage together? Let's stand before the Lord.